Psalm 90, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in Thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with the flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass, which groweth up. In the evening it flourisheth and groweth up in the evening. Or rather, in the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by Thine anger, and by Thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before Thee, our secret sins in the light of Thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in Thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of Thine anger? Even according to Thy fear, so is Thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent Thee concerning Thy servants. O satisfy us early with Thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein Thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let Thy work appear unto Thy servants, and Thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And establish Thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish Thou it. Amen. For our text this evening, I'd like to call your attention to verse 12 of Psalm 90. And then this morning, tomorrow morning, I should say, we shall return to the very same psalm, to another portion of it. This evening, verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And we will consider as our theme the prayer, So teach us to number our days. And we'll consider the necessity of that prayer. We'll consider the way in which that prayer is to be prayed, and we will also consider the purpose of that prayer, so teach us to number our days. So the necessity, the way in which, and the purpose. It's a year in which we often think clearly to the whole world all around us. Church and world, it seems, come together on New Year's Eve in the preaching, in the prayers. We think of all the things that have happened, and we basically consider the most basic things of life: birth, life, death. Something like Genesis 5. Born, he lived so many years, and he died. And we do that a bit on New Year's Eve. Who passed away this year? Who was born this year? What happened this year? We think of those who passed away. And I have written here on a piece of paper, our brother Russ, or Russell Lindhout, passed away on the 15th of March. And brother Erend Jan Huback on April the 14th. And our brother Louis Verhaeghe on June the 13th. Minnie Jean Phillips on July 27th. And on November the 25th, Chris and Heather Engelsma, who had been expecting a baby to be born next year, had a miscarriage. They named their child Providence. We grieve with those who grieve and commend the loved ones to the Lord. As I mentioned, we think of those who were born. Anita Mae Wielhauer, Eva Catherine Marquardt, Willem Jan Mol, Hannah Ray Vanderband, Ashlyn Elizabeth Horan, Seth Michael van der Zandt, and also there was Sarah Nellie Overdoom, but she was not baptized here and is now a member in the Mitchell Church. What a privilege it is to be born on the field of God's covenant. Those who passed away, those who were born, and those who were born one day will pass away. And how will they pass away? Job put it like this: naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. Let us consider tonight our, if I may call it, our naked life in the light of God's word. This year's almost past, and we received all the days of this year from God. And whatever befell us in this year, befell us by way of the hand of God. And with everything that did befall us, God had a purpose. The purpose of teaching us a lesson. The purpose of drawing us to Him. The purpose of life, not only the first birth, the second birth, and then the life out of Christ Jesus by His Word and Spirit. Let's listen this evening, in order that we may know the purpose for which God did it in our life and examine ourselves with respect to it. Psalm 90 is a solemn prayer of Moses. So one of the earliest psalms, come to think of it. A prayer that he composed as a psalm in the wilderness, during the journey towards the land of Canaan, after the deliverance from Egypt by the hand of God, journey through the Red Sea. They had arrived by way of Sinai to the border of the promised land, and there Israel demonstrated its unbelief. They believed the report of the 10 spies. And they disbelieved God and His promise. The Lord at that time was so provoked in His love that He punished His people and said, "You'll wander here 40 years in the wilderness, and only those 20 and under will arrive in the promised land, but not you others. Except for Joshua and Caleb, you will recall." And from there on, the one after the other died in the wilderness. And Moses saw it happening. Another burial. How many will there have been each day? A burial. And it was an account of their unbelief. It was an account of God's wrath due to their sin. But who thought of the wrath of God? Moses did. But who else stopped to think of it, that that's why they were all dying here? And who repented of his sin and who confessed his sin? Lord, we have sinned against thy grace and provoked thee to thy face. In verse 11, just prior to our text, Moses laments, "Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear? So is thy wrath." Who in Israel, as those persons, the one after the other, were dying? Who stopped to ponder the deepest cause of it all? And that it had to do with the wrath of God on account of their sins. But Israel, you will know the story, had become very hard and hardened. They had just toughened up. Another one died. Part of life. People had grown used to it, it seemed. Resigned themselves. That's our lot. Our life gets terminated here in this wilderness. And they, I repeat, no longer pondered the cause. Their sin. The wrath of God. God had struck them down. But it seemed it was something similar to what Jeremiah later on would write. When he was the prophet, he said that the Lord had struck his people. But the people had not grieved. Felt no pain. No anguish. Resigned themselves to it. And it must be congregation that the people no longer numbered their days, or at least no longer numbered their days aright. Why would they, one of these days or weeks or months or years? I will have to die too. And they, it seems, shrugged their shoulders. You think of the younger ones, how they will have responded to what was happening. They knew life is going to be till we are 70, till we are 80. Do you think there were young people in those years who simply thought, I'm going to try to get the most out of my life here in the wilderness, but supposed to get into the promised land? Is that how they were numbering? Now I'm 18. I have another 52 years, maybe 62 years to go. Moses prays here, teach us to number our days. It seemed the people had no heart of wisdom. They did not reckon with God, the Lord, as the God of promise, but also of wrath, as the God also of grace. And so Moses, in this prayer, in this psalm, he prays to God. And he senses the necessity of teach us to number our days. Else we'll be so hard till death, and then perish in the wilderness because the Lord was not pleased with us. The necessity of a congregation. And that's a necessity also for us. If Moses would have lived today, well, the psalm is with us today, would he not have said, New Year's Eve, so teach us to number our days. We need to number our days, congregation. We don't number everything in life, do we? We only number the things that are valuable to us. When we stand on the beach at Lake Michigan, we don't take the sand in our hands and start counting. And keep on counting. do we? But our money we do count. Our children we count, don't we? We hop in the car, everybody in, 1, 2, 3. They're precious to us. What about the days of our life? Should we keep track of the number? Yes, God keeps track of the days, congregation. God requires, we read in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, He requires that which is past. And He will one day ask you and me to give account of every day. Can you think of that? And then think of the fact that we don't get a whole lot of days, if I may so say. 70 times 80, or 70 or 80 times 365. Some 90 times 365. There's not a whole lot of days. And they are valuable. They are to be received from God's hands, thankfully, believingly. And they are to be highly valued because they are evidence of the favor of God. Every day, congregation, that is given to us here is a day of grace. Number your days, something we must learn to do. And it's something we don't say, okay, I just have a little computer and I just keep track of it. That's sort of neat. No. Because the idea is not 1 + 1 = 2. Or the idea is not a day is a day is a day. But a day is a day of grace. We must learn to number our days as days given by God. And we may not waste a single day that we receive from God, congregation. They are too precious for that. We must use them rightly, and hence we must number our days. Will you think of that? And I ask it, or I say it, because we tend to be so flippant. It's another day. Wow, I went fast. End of it. Another day. But God requires the days from us, congregation. As He requires the thoughts in a day, the words in a day, or a lack of words in a day, and our deeds. And in the day of days, we must give account of all the days. All the days. The necessity. Let's look at the way in which we are to number our days. So teach us to number our days. I believe it would be better to translate it, teach us so to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. How are we to number our days? Not like the way I mentioned that they did it in the desert, if they did it, their congregation. And maybe sometimes seriously, earnestly, then we say, well, another year is gone. Did it ever go fast? Life really is brief, isn't it? The Bible says it's like the breath of a hand. But if there is no more to our numbering than that, that's not the kind of numbering for which Moses turns to the Lord and says, so teach us to number our days. Don't just simply think 25 years now, another 50 coming. Well, might not be. But that's how some people do it. They say, I have another 50 to come. I don't know for sure, but that's what I'm planning for. And I'm now 25. By the time I'm 35, this is where I think I should be at in life. When I'm at 45, I think that's where... And that's how we can make our calculations, congregation. And not all of it is wrong as such. You're young and you say, well, this is going to be the year we get married. That's the year I'm going to graduate from college or university. And we older ones, we sometimes think so many more years and then retirement. That's how we count. And then we get through that phase and we say, 6 more months, 5 more months, 4 more months of work. It's probably going to be hard on me. That's how we do it. All understandable. But is there not more to our numbering than that, congregation? Or like, I hope I'll be at least 90, if my mind is right. I hope that I can make it to the 90s. That kind of numbering. Please, not congregation. And again, not that everything of that is necessarily wrong. But what Moses is praying here for, that the Lord teaches people, is something different. We must number, learn to number our days, congregation, by putting them on the scale of God's Word, His law, His gospel. What was God's purpose in this day? Teach me to number my days. What's the significance? And I'm not saying spend all your time on it, because there are other things to be, but the other things are to be done while numbering our days, in the sense of weighing our days on the scale of God's Word, congregation. It's almost something like we see in the newspaper or in magazines. There, certain journalists have kept track of what they thought were significant events in this year. And so they pick out the top 10 from their perspective. And a Financial Times magazine will do it with regard to the economy, certain aspects of the finances. And churches sometimes do it in a final article in December, looking back over the year from the perspective of the church. Something like that. But then Moses, he turns to God and he says, teach us to number our days so that we may rightly appraise the value of each day in the light of thy word. And not only the gospel, congregation, but also the wrath, in the light of the wrath of God. Because if you think of the fact that our text is verse 12, and it comes right after verse 11. Teach us so to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. But in that verse before, he has spoken about the wrath of God, congregation. The anger of God, he uses both words. The fact that our life here in the wilderness is so brief, that people must die here, is a manifestation of the wrath of God, the broken relationship between God and man. Teach us so to number our days, that we see what thou dost say to us every day. Cause us every day to see our sin and our unbelief, and that our sin and unbelief call for thy judgment, O God. Cause us to see in all the days of our life that without thee and without thy law and thy gospel, there is no future for us. Our life is fleeting. We shall not always remain here. One day we must leave this life and come before thy judgment seat. And we cannot die well unless we have thee as our God, and have a surety and a Savior for our soul, a mediator. That's what Moses has in mind when he says, so teach us to number our days. And Moses experience something of it, congregation. He had learned to see not only something of the wrath of God, but something else of God too. Because how did he start the psalm? He starts the psalm with Lord, and then he uses the Hebrew word Adonai, that means sovereign master. I belong to thee. I am under thee. Adonai, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Thou hast been our dwelling place. You think of that, congregation. What does that mean? Sometimes they say to you and me, what's your address? And then you give them your address. And if you have just moved, then you say, I wrote it down because I move so often. What's your phone number? I got. Moses went through some of it. He was born in Egypt, in the home of a Hebrew family. Then he moved to the river, the Nile. Then he went back home, remember? After he had been drawn from the water. And he lived with his mother till he had to go to the home of the princess. And he lived there. That was his next move. He lived in Egypt. And when he was 40 years of age, he moved again to Midian, where he lived for 40 years. And he had there, in essence, no permanent address. He journeyed each day with the sheep. And when this man wrote Psalm 90, what did he write? He said, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Do you hear those words? Thou hast been our address. Where do you live? With the Lord. Thou hast been our dwelling place. That was the truth already in the Old Testament, God's covenant with his people Israel. I will be a God unto thee. And the tabernacle that was made, composed in the wilderness. The Lord in the midst of his people. That's Old Testament. Later the temple. In the New Testament, in Christ, the Emmanuel, God with us. Christ who came to satisfy for all our sins and to deliver us from all the power of the devil and to obtain life for a sinful people and to give them pardon for sin and life, spiritual life through the Holy Spirit. And then in him, God comes to dwell with his people, congregation. And only with him, through Christ, in Christ, are we saved? Are we secure? He saves our soul even when death draws nigh. That's what Moses says at the beginning of the psalm. Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. In all the generations, there has been the presence of Adonai, the sovereign Lord. Moses to know congregation. That's right. But he made, after he has made out, written out that start, so the result is, and to know God is angry with us on account of our sin, and his wrath is tangible. Says the psalmist, in the troubles of life and the wretchedness of life, and life is something that passes away. We are consumed, he says in this psalm, I think it's in verse 7, by thy anger and by thy wrath are we troubled. What a bereavement. He saw all around God's hand came down hard on his people, congregation. Grief and bereavement, a consequence of sin, you could say, in general. And then also in a personal sense, because I am also a sinner. We are consumed by thine anger. And do you know what is so remarkable, congregation? is that the wrath of God that Moses speaks about in this psalm, and he repeats it over and again, is placed in the light of that first verse. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place, the trials and the death right here are a reason for us to humble ourselves before thee, and are a reason for thee, O Lord, to teach us so to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And isn't it true even today, congregation, that whatever comes against you in your life, whether it's death in the family, or it's a trial in the family, or it is sickness, there is the hand of God. Why, he sends those in order that we humble ourselves before him, in order that we will fear him and seek refuge with him. He must be angry with us because of sin, but he has us live in the day of grace, that we might flee to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, or to him in his Son, Jesus Christ. He teaches us in him to seek him. That we may find a refuge in him. And if we would number our days like that, congregation, what a different result that would show up in our life. You need to do that yourself. I do it myself. But you go over January 1 of 2005 and January 2 and January 3. I don't know if you ever look back. I've known of persons who would have a journal, a little journal for every day. And then New Year's Eve, sometimes other days, and then you go over the day a second time in your life before the face of God. Can you do that with this year? Some of us, for example, have encountered sickness. What's the lesson that you learned? Of weakness? You had thought, I'm healthy, and you became ill and needed to go see the doctor and the specialist, some tests, some surgery, some therapy. Is that not the lesson that you learned then in a year like this, sitting before the face of God? The lesson of Psalm 39, verse 5, where the psalmist says, verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. That's what he says. You can also translate, is as a mere breath. A person is so weak, and he thought he was so strong. Or in some of our families, a loved one passed away. Some of us had a colleague, a fellow worker at work, all of a sudden pass away. What was the lesson that you learned before God? So teach us to number our days. Was it the lesson that you all of a sudden realized, what am I running for? Always busy. I've got to make a living for my family. But all of a sudden you realize in those moments that with all your running, one day you will have to give account of all your running. And you haven't taken time to prepare for that. Or some younger persons in our midst have learned also important lessons in life. Maybe you had all kinds of plans. Maybe this year the Lord stopped you and he made you rethink before his face. And that you thought, here, I'm making all these plans in my life. When I'm 35, this is what I think I should be having. When I'm 50. And all of a sudden you came before the Lord and said, Lord, here I'm making my own plans. And I thought that was right to do. But I can make all my plans. But thou art the God who doth the rain. And I need in all the plans thy guiding hand. And I need thy saving grace. I just mentioned a couple of things, and you can think of many other things in this year, congregation. If you think back, for example, you think back to the tsunami that had started in 2004. But that so many people died in that tsunami. And that so many needed help. What did it teach you and me? I mean, we can say, oh, how sad. Good thing it didn't happen here. How scary. But what did it teach you? Young people, what did it teach you? Some people say, well, those people were out of luck. No, no. Was not out of luck. But what if a disaster would have struck you and me? And all of a sudden you would have come this year to stand before God. Does that make you pause and consider? You may notice, by the way, that in the Psalms, quite often when it speaks about life as a handbreadth, then it says in the Psalm, I think three times, Selah, right after that. We don't even read that anymore in many ways. But Selah could well have the meaning of stop, think, consider. Three times in the Psalm, like I believe it's 39. Do you do that? That you stop and think. And think that your life also is in danger. Or you can think of the war in Iraq that our nation is involved in. And that our men and our women, many of them have been killed also this year. And we've prayed for our nation at war. We have prayed for Iran. We've prayed for Iraq. And we have trembled at times, have we not? But what has it done to us? I don't mean that you simply say, well, I'm opposed to the war anyway. I would never go and fight there. No, but I mean, do you bring that in prayer before the Lord? Do you depend in your thinking on God's word, His law, and His gospel? And whatever happens, what kind of fruit does that yield? What kind of profit is there, spiritual profit, in your life? Or you can think of Israel and that whole Mideast, which is actually the old battle of Ishmael and the descendants of Jacob. And they are both, in some sense, descendants of Abraham. Another suicide attack. 15 dead, 75 seriously injured. And it goes on and on and on, Carnegie. What does it teach us? With respect to the hatred that's there between that old covenant people of God that wants no part of Jesus Christ, the Savior, and the other people. Or you think of the flooding in New Orleans, or you think of the rains in California. What is it that we are learning before the face of God? That our life is pretty fragile, and that our global economy, it's pretty fragile. And that our wealth is not sure. Or to mention something else, congregation, are we not seeing in our own land, and we see it in the whole Western world, that the whole Muslim, the Islam, is just spreading incredibly. and you think of the Western Church, any growth there? Other than in some mega churches, and then you often see that they draw people from other churches. But the Muslim religion is a religion that's marching on and getting Western people to become part of it, kind. And here, in a democratic society, what's happening? In the meanwhile, our democracy is shoving the law of God, the Ten Commandments, this year, more and more to the side. And when you then number the days, weigh the days, and you consider it all, and you consider in the churches, church life, church quarrels, conflicts, learn. Do we learn that we're not able to be church as we ought to be? Are we able to draw outsiders into the church as we to so number our positive and asking the Lord to teach them to number their days in the light of God's wrath, but also in the light of God being a dwelling place? And today we may do it in the light of our Lord Jesus Christ, who came, who bore the wrath of God, under which we should have perished everlastingly. And who is he? He is in the throne in heaven, and he speaks to us. He speaks to us in his word, congregation. And we need him as our teacher. He is the prophet, the priest, and the king. So teach us to number our days. Did you hear him speak this year? Can you say that tonight, Lord, I thank thee that thou didst speak to me on January 1, on January 2, on January 3, on January, and you go over the whole year, as it were? Can you say, Lord, there have been golden moments this year? Maybe you can say, I had to undergo surgery. I dreaded the thought of it. But the Lord visited me there. Spoke to me there. A high point in your life. Or maybe someone came and shared something from the Word of God. And he left, but the Word of God remained. So teach us to number our days. Give thanks to God, for good is he, his grace abideth ever. Teach us so to number our days. Teach us so to compose a review for 2005, O Lord, that we can say, look, on that day, there was God's judgment. There was God's punishment. On that day, his love. On that day, how near he came to me. What has he done to our marriage this year? Our family, and we so struggled, but he came, he helped, he continued to work. We can complain about others, congregation. We can also complain about self. But we cannot complain about the Lord. We may not. He's been so gracious in speaking to us. Your Bible every day. So teach us, or teach us so to number our days, O Lord. And he speaks today, congregation, through your Bible reading at home. And he speaks through the Sunday school teaching. And he speaks through the Bible lessons at school. And he speaks through the preaching of the Word of God. Teach us so to number. What profit did it bring to you and me? And not only on the high points, but also the low points in life. Did it teach you to depend more on the Lord? To be more in need of his mercy? Promised to you? Have the days been such that you came to see more your need of Christ? who came in the fullness of time, and who gave a significance to all time congregation. And that's part of the final thought, that you begin to see the purpose, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Unto wisdom, then, I don't merely say, oh, I think I have another 30 years to go, and then my life will be over. No, that I may receive a wise heart and may apply my heart unto wisdom. What does that mean, Carnegie? That we may apply our hearts unto wisdom as the purpose. You see, in the Greek world of the days of the New Testament, so many people thought in terms of wisdom, that's up here, your intellect. The philosophers, they were to be able to solve the riddles of life. And in our day, it's come to be the scientists. They're the bright ones. They can analyze the laws of nature. But the Hebrew word for wisdom, congregation, is linked with the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. According to the Bible, a person is wise if he acknowledges God, considers God, and fears His name, and realizes that He is God, and He is worthy to be acknowledged, and I need Him for my thinking, for my speaking, for my works, for everything. And I need Him in all His attributes for me, as my God, as my dwelling place, and the Savior to have borne the wrath of God in full. And in Him is all the wisdom of God, as a wisdom to be apportioned to me. A person who has a heart applied unto wisdom is not a person, congregation, who simply dreams away through this world and uses all his energy for the things that one day he's going to have to leave in this world. Teach us so to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So that we don't merely say, life is brief, folks. That we may speak of who God is, the Lord, the Adonai, as our sovereign God, and the Yahweh as the God of the covenant, the I Am that I Am, who sent His Son Jesus for a full satisfaction for all our sins, and to so have spent His time every day that He sought the face of God. Even the nights He would go into the mountain to pray and speak with God. That's the purpose, congregation. I must perish because of my sin, but there is pardon through the surety, Jesus Christ, the mediator. And when He teaches us to number our days so that we apply our hearts unto wisdom, then I have one deep longing, and that is to be found in Christ and to take refuge to Christ for all of my life. In verse 14, Moses prays, O satisfy us early with Thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. So when we apply, when He teaches us to apply our hearts unto wisdom, then we know not only of the wrath of God, but the mercy of God and the wisdom of God, which is in Jesus Christ. And then we seek the comfort in Him. And that shows up in our everyday life, congregation. Then we are not merely tossed to and fro with the things that our newspaper speaks about every day. Something new. But then we live in the light of the Word of God. A wise heart. that I may know him. And if I do not know him, then even if I live to be 105 years of age, congregation, then in the day of days, I will be found to be outside. But if I know him, then I will live day by day. And the first thing in the morning, oh, teach thou us to count our days and set our hearts on wisdom's ways. Give thou me wisdom, Lord, for my business. And I have made my plans for the new year. And this needs to be done in order to keep my business viable. A wise heart sees above all that it is the Lord who reigns. And you need to depend on him. And when in the business it goes a little differently than you had anticipated, then you cling more to the Lord in every regard. And not only for your business, but also for your marriage, for your family, for your schooling, for when you are young, for when you are old. Also for you when you are young, young people. I know that you love to do things on your own. Say, look, I'm young only once. I need to be able to do that once in life. Oh, teach me to number my days, that I may apply my heart unto wisdom, O Lord. That was Moses' prayer. And he knew I don't know if he knew it at this time. But he did find out that he was not allowed to go into the promised land because he had not sanctified the Lord, remember? He was to speak to the rock, but he smote upon the rock. What struck me, congregation, is that in this psalm, Moses does not come beyond, it seems, that prayer. Teach us. Teach us. He doesn't say, I thank thee, O Lord, that thou hast taught us to do this and it's going well. We're doing okay. Oh, teach thou us. Thou who art from everlasting to everlasting, God. Thou who hast been, he can say that, our dwelling place in all generations. Teach thou us to number our days. May I ask you, congregation, and I ask it myself this night, have you become any wiser this year? Have you come any nearer to God this year? Has your life been purified this year? Or do you say tonight, what is man? What am I? How little I've been numbering the days, to be frank. And I'm embarrassed to say so. I have often not even thought of the purpose of God in my life. I know it in general, but that I may apply my heart unto wisdom. Oh, teach thou us. And there was much good of God this year, congregation. God spoke to you and me in mercy. Did you and I understand it? Or did we just say, that's normal, that's what Sunday is for. I got to hear that. Or did God smite you this year? And do you understand his purpose in your life? To purify you, to drive you out to him? Or have you simply stopped to think about these things? Are you one of those who have simply become hard and hardened? Still so foolish? Anybody here who must say, that's me? God has counted on fools' congregation. And that's why in this beautiful psalm, the lesson is, teach thou me. The Lord desires to be your teacher, congregation. That's a great privilege for the Lord Jesus from heaven to be your teacher in this regard. And do you know who prays this prayer the most? He who has learned the lesson the most. Maybe through trials. But they brought you nearer to, O teach thou me, and unto me impart. But should there be more in my life? O Lord, I'm still so foolish. I'll teach you, the Lord says. And it can be that you have prayed this prayer many a time as a dead prayer, congregation. Or ask the Lord for life. But turn from your sin and hide with God. And say, Lord, I am a fool, but I desire to be made wise. Have you been made wise? Learn to number your days. If it is your desire to apply your heart to wisdom, congregation, James says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask it of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraids not. What a marvel of mercy. And it shall be given him. Or are you dead to these things? Only foolish. Wasted your time. And you don't know how many more days you will have. And to die outside of God is eternal death. Seek him on the last day of 2005. And when you are taught to apply your heart to wisdom, then you see your foolishness, congregation. Then you say, oh Lord, I don't understand myself. But that was like Moses. He had killed an Egyptian. And like I said once, he smote upon the rock and he was supposed to speak to it. And he had to learn the lesson more deeply. Was it here he learned it in Psalm 90? Don't despair when you don't make the kind of progress you had hoped for. Because the Lord will attain to his purpose in his people's lives, congregation. And he will attain to that purpose not because we are such good pupils, but because the Lord Jesus is the best teacher. Amen.